Blog Talk Radio.
So we know. So this stuff. Are you just happy? Yeah.
message card. What's your number?
It don't stop.
You should go. Okay.
Thy justice like mountains high.
Thank you. My dear brothers and sisters, welcome to Advent Light Prayer Line. Let us offer a word of prayer. The Lord said, where two or three gather, he is in the midst, and we thank God that he is with us this evening. So we're going to pray and asking my brothers and sisters to press one so that they can share. We know God have done great things for us, and we have to give him all the praise due to him. Let's pray. Father, we come again once more to thank you. Lord, we don't even have words to express our gratitude to you for the things that you have done for us, the many blessings you place, many blessings you have given unto us, your children. Lord, we thank you for food. We thank you for shelter. We thank you for clothing. Most of all, we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary to save our sin. We thank you for our brothers and sisters who join and see the need of prayer. As you said, prayer is not bringing you down to us, but bringing us to you. You want us to go up into a higher standard, higher heights, Lord. You want us to be willing and ready to follow you and to share all the things that you have done for us to others by giving them and sharing our experience so that they can know that things that they are going through, for if they trust you, you are able to hear. Help us that we will be faithful today, and whatsoever we do, help us to bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, brothers and sisters, this is Sister Powell. Sister Leola is the one supposed to be hosting tonight, but she is not able, so she called and asked. So Sister Powell will be your host, and I'm asking my brothers and sisters, let us all share, you know. When you all share, it will give Sister Powell the chance that she alone don't have to be speaking. So I just want to give God thanks. And now we will open the line for dear sister, who will bring an opening song and also a scripture passage, and she will also pray.
Unmuted.
518-650, your line is open.
Good afternoon, Sister Powell. Thank you for opening my line. My name is Paulette Barnaby. I'm calling from Albany in New York. I'm going to sing my song. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to the Calvary. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I cling to the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. I'm gonna read Psalms 4. Hear me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after listing? But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in nay and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Hear me when I call, O God of my salvation. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Father, I come before you this evening. Nothing in my hands I bring. My hand is empty, O God. I only come because I'm a sinner and I need to fill my hands with your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, please forgive me of my sins. I've sinned so many times and I'm no more worthy to be called your child, O God. But, O God, make me to be one of your hired servants. Please forgive me. Into your hand I put myself. At the foot of the cross I lay myself, O God. Empty, naked, wretched, blind, no good. Father, have mercy upon me according to your loving kindness, O God. According to the multitude of your tender mercy, Heavenly Father, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my sin and cleanse me from all my unrighteousness, Lord. Mold me and fashion me into your likeness and make me into what you want me to be and not what I want to be. I am nothing of my own but a lump of clay, a filthy rags, O God, need to be dumped. But God, because you died on that old rugged cross, I can be here this evening so that I can give you thanks for your many, many blessings. Thank you for what you have doing for me before I was born until now. I thank you, I praise you, I magnify you, I exalt you, I lift you up, and I give you thanks, Lord, because your name is worthy to be praised. Because you do for me what I cannot do for myself, and you do for me what no one can do for me. Lord, you know everything about me, Lord God. You know my weakness and you know my strength. You know my need. You know my rising and my down, sitting and my everything about me, Lord. So please, Jesus, do for me what I cannot do for myself and touch me and heal me and cleanse me and purge me, O God, and make me to what you want me to be. Lord, if there's anything in me that is unlike you, dear God, please remove it, Jesus, so as I pray, my God, my prayer can come up to your sweet incense and your blessing may come down and bless myself and bless your people. I put this prayer line into your hand, dear God. I'm asking you to build an edge around all those who are on this prayer line, the silent listeners, oh God, and those that are taking part. Father Heaven, you are real, you are mighty, you are powerful, you are awesome, you are miraculous, and you are the God who never change. You're the same yesterday and forever, O God. Lord, no care how sinful we are, you love us with an everlasting love, O God, but you love this sin. And Lord, we need to get rid of our sinfulness, but it's only with you, O God, we can get rid of our sinfulness. So Lord God, continue to do for all your people what your people cannot do for themselves, dear God. Father, this country, I put all the governments in this country, all the governments all over the world in diverse places, Jesus. Oh, God, I put each and every leader into your hands. Lord, you see them. Some of them are working. Some of them cannot be found. But, oh, God, you know everything, Jesus. So, Father, continue to lead, continue to guide, continue to uphold them with your right hand of your righteousness, dear Father. Oh, Lord, be with the government. I put the government into your hand. I'm asking you to step in. Take over, dear God, and whatever they do, let them do it to your name and our glory and something that is pleasing in your eyes. Lord, continue to help them, oh God, to lead your people aright, lead your people into righteousness, lead your people out of sinfulness, and lead your people out of everything that is unlike you, dear God. Help them to be like you in mind, body, and soul, and in their doing, in their going out, in their coming in, and in whatever they do. Lord, I put all the young people all over the place into your hand, oh God. So much young people are committing suicide, oh God, and they are weary and weak and worn and sad, and they don't know where to turn. But, oh God, you're a mighty God. You're a powerful God. You're an awesome God. You're a miraculous God. There is nothing too hard for you, Jesus. Oh God, be with the sick, the hungry, the naked, the blind, all those who need you, dear God. Help us come to you in spirit and to come to you in truth, oh God, knowing that you and you alone is worthy of all the goodness and all the blessing and all the praise. Father, take over this evening, dear God. I put each and every one that is on the prayer line into your hand this evening. Touch us. Mold us and fashion us into your likeness, and whatever we speak, let nothing come from our mouth, but let it come from your throne. Be with the speaker in a special way, O God. Build an edge around her and anoint her from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. Create in her clean heart, renew right spirit in her. Cast her not away from her presence, take not your Holy Spirit from her. Continue to mold her and fashion into your likeness and make her into what you want her to be. Lord, continue to lead, to guide. Have your way. Let your will be done, I ask, and I give you thanks. In the name of your Father, Son, and the sweet Holy Spirit, O God. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Barnaby, for the opening songs and also your scripture and prayer, especially that song on the old rock, on the whole rugged cross. When we look upon the cross and remember who went on the cross for us, Jesus Christ, and he shed his blood for us because he loves us. And as we know how he loves us, he wants us to be obedient to his will so that we will be able to love our brothers just as how he loves us. And what he is doing for us, brothers and sisters, when we look at the cross, it reminds us that we must strive to be, to have his character so that we will live with him. This was a little study this morning. I think yesterday we were studying it, and it's the inheritance of the saints. You know, just as oh God, Jesus came, and what he has done for us, and you know what he has done, he gave his life for us, and he wants us to demonstrate that same character throughout our life. And he has a reward for us, and as we are planning, each one of us, and praying that we will be able to acquire through him the passport to heaven. And he promised us, you know, the inheritance of the saint, what we will receive from him if we are faithful. And just read this little quotation. And, you know, it's amazing, you know, when we have all these wonderful promises that if we be faithful to God, you know, he will allow us to enjoy the fruit of the Spirit and also the fruits of our labor. So I just read this little, and I'm from Last Day Events, and what I see here from Last Day Events here is the parable of the wedding garment, and it also cope with what I'm supposed to read. So can I read a little about the wedding garment that God wants to put a place upon us. And his wedding garment is his righteousness. It said, the parable of the wedding garment open before us is a lesson of the highest consequence. By the marriage, it represented the union of humanity with divinity. And the wedding garment represents the character which all must possess. We shall be accounted fit guests for the wedding. And I know each one of us who join us this evening are preparing to wear that wedding garment, you see. And his wedding garment that he wants to put upon us is the whole character of himself. He said, in this parable, as it is that of the great supper, are illustrating the gospel invitation. It's rejected by the Jewish people and the call of mercy to the Gentile. But on the part of those who reject this invitation, this parable brings to view deeper insult and a more dreadful punishment. The call to the feast is the king's invitation. It proceeds from one who is vested power to control. It confesses I honor, yet the honor is unappreciated. I'm asking my brothers and sisters, if you want to share, can you press number one that I can open the line? Continue this quote. The king's authority is despised, while the householder invitation was regarded with difference. And the kings met with insult and murder. They treated his servant with scorn, despitefully using them and slaying them. And this is from Christ Object Lesson 307, paragraph 2. Brothers and sisters, we all want to inherit, right, the kingdom as he's gone to prepare a place for us. We all want to be winner with to him so that we can be with him. And it also said here about the redeem and the work that we have to perform. And each one of us have a work. We cannot be in our church or wherever we is and just sit back, just listening to message and sermon. God have a plan for his people, and he wants us to be obedient so that we can clothe with his wedding garment. And this plan is only can we can accomplish this plan only by studying his word and also keep on praying, because he's demonstrated his life to us and shows how important prayer is for each and every one of us. Prayer is the only thing can keep us. So, my brothers and sisters, tonight as you come on this line, I'm just asking you to press number one that you can share. God have done so much for you, so many blessings over the old week, and now we are in a new week, right? So we have a lot to give God thanks and praise for. So I'm asking my brothers and sisters to press number one that they can share. All right, I open this line. 518-744, your line is open.
Thank you, Sister Powell, for opening my line. This is Brother Rick from Fort Ann, New York, and enjoying another beautiful day that the Lord has given us. What a beautiful weekend we've had. We had a really excellent church service. God has been good. He has been blessing. He has been moving, sister. And I'm just praising him tonight for all of his goodness towards me. And I realize that I do not deserve it. None of us deserve God's goodness, but he is so gracious. He is always willing to extend that to us if we will accept it. And I am just so thankful tonight. He has been... I got to see Ashley yesterday for just a short time. Just asking for prayer for Ashley. She didn't seem to be in too good a place yesterday. I'm hoping that the Lord will continue to work upon her heart and just help her to feel her need for him, because without him, none of us have a chance. to do anything good. So just keep Ashley in prayer and the rest of my family, my wife and my children. God has been good to all of us. None of us have been sick. We've all been healthy and well, and you know, God has given us a health message, which we need to be serious about that health message and not keep doing things that we know are not good for our health, because there will come a day when God is going to withdraw his spirit from this earth, and if we are not following his the wisdom that he has given us, we could find ourselves in a very, very, very bad place, sister, and just thanking him that he has kept me in good health. I have a few aches and pains, but nothing to worry about, because he has been good. I just had my 60th birthday on Thursday, and you know what, I feel a little older than I used to back 30 years ago, but I'm still able to go out and work every single day to do everything that I am supposed to do, that I need to do, and I'm just thanking God for that, because I know a lot of people my age, or even a lot younger, that can't work at all. They are disabled, they have, you know, diabetes, they have heart problems, they have numerous, numerous problems, and they're on all kinds of medications, and praise the Lord, I had a checkup the other day, and the nurse was asking me, what medications are you on? I said, none. She said, do you have any health problems? I said, no. Have you been to the hospital for anything? I said, no. She said, have you been sick with anything recently? And I had to keep saying, no. You know, God has been good. So praise him that he has kept me in good health. And I will continue to follow him, continue to strive to do his will for me. And I was listening to a sermon, actually a presentation by Walter Weiss today. He actually put that one out on Thursday, and oh, it was a very good one about Christian perfection. And if anyone would like to listen to that, I would urge you to look that up on YouTube. It'd be Walter Weiss, and it just came out on Thursday. Very, very good presentation from the Bible and from the Spirit of Prophecy about living, you know, how we need to live in these last days before Christ comes, and our part in, you know, preparing ourselves to meet Christ when he comes in the clouds of glory. So please, and my brothers and sisters would like to listen to that, please look that up on YouTube. And a very, very, very good presentation. So just continue to pray for me. I will continue praying for you. And thank you, sister, for opening my line. Just thankful for Sister Powell and for hosting tonight. And thank you, sister. You have a good evening.
Amen, brother Elder. Thank you, Elder Rick, for also for joining, and also thank you for sharing, giving us, you know, encouraging us, and thank God for what you have been doing with the family members. Thank God that you was able to meet Ashley for a short time yesterday, because, you know, we are constantly praying for Ashley and all the family members, so we thank God. And we do know Elder Rick just said that he had, the Lord had blessed him with another milestone. The Lord had blessed him with another milestone, 60 years, and that is a blessing. So we just have to give God thanks, Brother Rick, when, you know, he have allowed us, you know, with another milestone, another age. We are getting a little younger, not a little older, and, you know, that's the blessing of the Lord, and especially giving you good health, you know. good health. And God said, I wish above all things that would prosper and be in good health. So we just want to thank God for you and continue to do your work, because I do know you are doing a great work, both with your personal job and also with the church and the church community, and also with Advent Light. You bring up great resources to Advent Light and to our brothers and our sisters. So we just want to thank you, and we will continue to pray on behalf of your dear daughter, the daughter children, especially Ashley, and also your family, your wife, and also the other children and grandchildren. God is so good. He is able to do all things. So thank you again, Brother Rich. And a little more, I will ask you to do the prayer for us so you can stand by that I can open when prayer. Brothers and sisters, I welcome you on Advent Light prayer line, and I'm asking you please to share. As Brother Rich said, there is Pastor Walter Veit of a program, Perfection, in Car Christian Perfection, and that you can check that YouTube, and he always presents some wonderful, end time message that you can check for yourself. Sometimes, you want to listen to something different, that you can go and check the YouTube, and you will find Walter Veit there. And he has a lot of presentation there. So we, Brother Rick, watch it, and we saw that, it's interesting. So he's also sharing it with us that weekend. So thank you, Brother Rick. Yes, I open this line, 985-232. Your line is open. Can you tell your name and where you're calling from?
Good evening, Mr. Slim Brother. This is Brenda calling from Hummel, Louisiana. Just want to thank God for blessing wheat. And just want to thank him for waking us up and watching over us. I would like to read a prayer. Almighty Father in heaven, I love your son, Jesus Christ. I am a son at your willingness to send him to die for a group of sinners. We truly do not deserve his life, let alone his death. Jesus Christ, I thank you for your gentle and illuminating life on earth. Thank you for teaching us how to truly love and be loved. I love you, Christ, my Lord, and your name I pray. Amen. Just want to thank God again for sending his son and giving us his mercy, grace and mercy. And we just want to just thank the Lord again. We're having a lot of heavy rain and thunder and lightning over here. And we needed it because the pile has been so bad. It's been coming in on me during the night and through the vents, and I haven't been able to sleep. It's been so bad. Oh, it's been bad in the hours of the night. It's just been giving me headaches. So I'll tell you, I run blow fans, and that's how I come through the vents, because my center is not working, and they come in, and I tell you, it's been so bad here because I'm living around plants, and it's been in a lot of dry, all that, and a lot of trees, a lot of pollen, and that pollen's been so bad. So last fair, I went to gave me the time to sleep before I got on the prayer line. And I had my grandbaby, so it didn't help too bad, but my mama picked her up. So I thank God I was able to rest and able to function. So thank God. And join with my brothers and sisters So we just want to ask for prayer. My brothers and sisters and bent light on and off the prayer line. Those that are sick, those that are homeless, those that are on COVID, and whatever other situation they're facing, including the business and all the other upcoming situation they have going on, and that Ben Light needs to be stored or taken care of, and it can't get to them. So we ask God to take care of it for them while they're out and fix it and bless them and strengthen them till they get there and take care of each and every one. And we ask God to bless our homes and bless our family on and off this prayer line and all those that help to make this prayer line a success, because it's been going strong for some time now. And we thank God for all the newcomers and all the ones that have been on here. And it's been a ongoing blessing. So we just want to ask God to forgive us of our sin, and lifting up prayers for my sister, wherever she at out there, Tennessee somewhere. Bless her and for those out there, because I know they're doing their mission. Give them strength, because I don't know what the weather is like out there, because it's been hot here, so we're in need of with this rain. So we just want to thank God for each and every one, and just want to and pray for the bereaved family. So God bless each and every one until we meet again. Amen. Thank you for my line, Sister Powell.
Amen. Amen. No, it's Brother John tonight, right?
No, he's the baby was out. He's under weather.
Okay. Thank you, Sister Brenda and Brother John. Brother John, thank you that you come on and also sharing and reading your prayer. God is so good, and I know you're praying for your sister. Sister Leola, brothers and sisters, Sister Leola, send her love to the prayer line. She's out there in Alabama, and, you know, some of the time it's difficult for her with the phone system out there, you know, and that's maybe the reason why. So she's asking for prayer, brothers and sisters, and she said out there is nice, and, you know, where she is, so we just need to lift up Sister Leola. And also, Sister Leola, always been praying for her son, Jarvis. Please, I'm asking you to remember Jarvis in prayer, and Nicole and her grandchildren, and Brother Ray. So she is doing well, and we soon hear from her, right? Brothers and sisters, we are asking you to press number one so that you can share. You know, I know that our speaker, Brother Akeem James, always come on the line a certain time, and we do not want it. Brother King James on the line, can you press one? You know, we would like everyone to share so that they can, you know, present their request to the Lord and to give praises and honor. And if you don't press number one, brothers and sisters, I won't be able to open your line. So we want to know if you want to speak. We are asking you and welcome all on the line. We have some new sisters who join us on the line, and we have to ask God your blessing. Give God thanks for and blessing for what he has been doing for us. We have Sister Payne on the line, our new sisters, Advent Light, and also we have Sister Lynn, and always on the line, and Sister Tamiko, and brothers and sisters, these are sisters, they are really working for the Lord. They are God's servant, and they are really praying that, you know, the Lord will help them, that they can present these messages to those out there, their loved ones. And I'm also asking you all tonight to have on the list Sister Miriam and also Sister Elizabeth. Elizabeth and Sister Miriam's daughter. I'm asking you to just our daughter pray for her and her children. And all the various requests that we have, let us remember our brothers and sisters that we can lift them up. And especially Advent Light, those who used to join us and we are not hearing from them, we are asking you to either give them a call or pray that God will bring them back here on the line. Also, the leadership of this line, pray that God will strengthen us, that we will be faithful to do His will. So I'm asking my brothers and sisters to press one that I can, you know, that you can identify yourself that you want to speak. I will sing this little song, just a little word, because without God guidance right now, brothers and sisters, there is no way we are going to make it. He leadeth me, oh blessed thought, oh words with heavenly comfort forth. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth us. He leadeth us, He leadeth us by His own hand. He leadeth us, His faithful follower would be, for by His hand He leadeth us. Sometimes may seem of deepest gloom, sometimes weary dead bowers bloom, by water still or troubled sea, still 'tis His hand that leadeth us. He leadeth us, He leadeth us by His own hand. He leadeth us, His faithful follow I would be by His own hand. He leadeth us. Lord, I would pass my hand in thine, nor ever murmur nor repine, content whate'er lot I see, since 'tis by God that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me by His own hand. He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be by His own hand. He leadeth us. Lord, I would clasp my hand in thine, nor murmur, nor repine, conscient with ever lot I see, 'tis this my God that leadeth me. And when my toss on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, hidden school ways. I will not flee, since God to Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, by God's great hand he leadeth me. Yes, brothers and sisters, we only know that is only God can lead us to righteousness. So we are praying that our sisters and our brother tonight will press number one so that they can share. We have a loving God who care about you and willing to lead us into righteousness. Okay, 857, your line is open.
Hello, Sister Power. Hello, brothers and sisters on Advent Light Ministry. My name is Brother Eli. I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts. Sister Power, I like to praise God because he is good. He's worthy to be praised. But Sister Power, I'm a little bit, Sister Power, I'm a little bit sad at the moment. Sister Power, I have a prayer request right now. My prayer request right now is to pray for me. Lift me up in prayer. Sister Power, don't forget to pray for me. Pray for my mother. Sister Power, don't forget to pray for me. Pray for my mother. Don't forget to pray for Brother Jihari. And Sister Power, please pray for Brother Javel, because Sister Power, I'm feeling down at the moment. Sister Power, I'm feeling down at the moment. Tell brothers and sisters to encourage me, because I'm Javel has been calling me a bad word, Sister Power, but please, Sister Power, encourage me on this Advent Light Ministry because Sister Power, every time, Sister Power, when I tell Brother Javel to get on the prayer line, he told me that he doesn't want to hear about the prayer line. I say this prayer line it is a prayer that people pray for everyone. That's people pray, that people have prayer requests, that people have testimony. I tell Brother Javel that, Sister Power, but Sister Power, he make me feel down at the moment. But Sister Power, tell brothers and sisters to encourage me on this Advent Light Ministry, and tell Pastor Akeem James to encourage me, because Sister Power, you know why, Sister Power, Brother Javel has been calling me a bad word, but Sister Power, I'm asking you to tell brothers and sisters to encourage me on this prayer line, and tell Pastor Akeem James to encourage me on this prayer line, and tell Sister Power, make sure you tell brother Sister Power, please tell brothers and sisters to encourage me at the moment, because I'm feeling down right now, Sister Power. It's Brother Javel been calling me a bad word, Sister Power. He called me name calling, Sister Power, and he was a bully to me. But Sister Power, I'm asking you to pray at the moment, and tell brothers and sisters to encourage me on this prayer line, please. Thank you.
Okay, Brother Eli is asking for prayer. Javel, Brother Eli, just have faith. God loves you. He said, right? God loves you, and he knows the work that you are doing. And that is what the devil is doing. The devil knows that you are sharing God's love. God loves to Javel, right? And the devil doesn't want Javel to, know about God. And that is the reason why. But don't blame Javel. Let us blame the devil at this time, because we know the devil is working with Javel, true Javel. So I'm going to ask somebody to pray, lift you up in prayer. So I'm going to open this line, and Sister I'm asking you, please, if you could pray, just pray for us, and also pray for Jovel Brother Eric. I was asking you to do the prayer. Well, we can do a hurly prayer, Brother Eli, asking for this prayer request. He's a little down now. I'm asking you if you could lift him up in prayer, and also the other prayer request, Brother Sister and Brother John, you know, we are asking you to pray for them. Pray for Sister Leola in the country, and also pray for the other requests, them on the line generally. Thank you.
Yes. Okay, if we could just bow our heads where we are. We can close our eyes. We can kneel if we have that opportunity. And let's lift up all of our brothers and sisters in prayer. Lord, we come to you this evening. You have been gracious and kind and merciful to us, O Father. Lord, we are just so thankful for your goodness to us. And Lord, at this moment, we ask for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, we desire to be righteous in your sight, covered by that robe that Jesus offers us, Lord, if we would just accept it. If we would follow him, Lord, you have given us all these things, Lord, and we have no one else to turn to at this moment. So we are turning to you because you are holy, you are righteous, you are mighty, mighty to save, Lord, each one of us, Father. Lord, tonight, as we consider the prayer request, Lord, we want to lift up Brother Eli. He is feeling down at this moment, Lord, please. Send your holy angels, Lord, to strengthen him, to give him peace, knowing that even though Brother Jovel has not been kind to him, Lord, you still love him, Lord. You are there. You are gracious and kind and merciful to him and Brother Jovel. Brother Eli, give him comfort in his time of sadness, Lord. Lift his spirit, Lord, that he may again, go forth, Lord, and witness about your mighty deeds, your mighty works, Lord, about your kindness and your goodness to him and to his mom and to his friends, Lord. Please be with Brother Eli's mom as he is lifting her up in prayer, Lord. We just do ask that you would watch over her, that you would guide her, Lord, that you would keep her, Lord. Father, Brother Johari, we lift him up, Lord, and all of Brother Eli's friends that he prays for so often, Lord, we lift each one of them up. And, Lord, please keep them, bless them, Lord. Send your Holy Spirit to impress them, to come upon the prayer line, Lord, to hear of your goodness, and to be able to have a testimony that we all could feel, Lord, because these testimonies are so precious to us. Lord, sometimes the days are long. Sometimes the days are hard, Lord, and we just need those testimonies to lift our spirits also, to help us to continue on knowing that you are there. Oh, Lord, I lift up Sister Brenda and Brother John, Lord. Brother John is under the weather, Lord. Please watch over him, Lord. Bless him. Guide him, Lord. Pray that he would feel better quickly, O Lord, that you would take care of his health, Lord, and his spiritual health, as well as Sister Brenda, Lord, as she is suffering from this pollen that has been bothering her allergies, Lord. We just do pray that this rain would come and wash that away and give her some relief, Lord. I pray that you would continue to guide them and bless them, O Father. They have been faithful listeners, they always come on and praise you for your goodness, Lord. Please watch over them and bless them, O Father. Guide them. And, Lord, send your Holy Spirit just to surround them, Lord, to give them peace and to help them to continue to witness for you, Lord. Father, lift up my dear sister Powell, who has been hosting tonight, Lord. She is faithful follower of yours for so many years, Lord. She's been an encouragement to so many of us, Lord. And Father, I do lift her up, her family, her children, her grandchildren, Lord, her home, Lord. Please bless her and her home, Lord. Send your angels to surround her, to keep her, to guide her, Lord. and her ministry in Jamaica, Lord. We do lift up those young people that she takes care of there, Lord, that she ministers to, Lord. Please be with them, Lord, and her family, Lord. Father, I think of all of our brothers and sisters on the Advent Night prayer line, those who are listening tonight, Lord. Father, I do lift up each one. We pray for their salvation, Lord, for their help, for their spiritual and mental well-being, Lord, as you are the giver of all good things, Lord, the giver of health, the giver of physical health as well as mental health and spiritual health, Lord. We just pray for each one, Lord, and just ask that you be with their families, and all that they're doing, Lord, their work, their churches, Lord, their ministries, Lord. Father, I lift up Brother Yudi, Sister Melissa. They are working towards the goal of opening their store. Please, Lord, continue to bless them, Lord. They have had some church family come over and promise to help them, Lord. And, oh, Lord, what a blessing that is to them and to your work, oh, Lord. Please, Lord, continue to guide them. And may they be able to open up their store soon, Lord. It's going to be a great light for your work in that area, Lord. So please bless them, their efforts, Lord, and, Lord, guide them. Keep the devil from discouraging them, Lord. And, Lord, he wants to keep this place closed, Lord. Please pray this store would open quickly, Lord, so that your light will shine. Father, I think of Brother Akeem and his mom and his dad, Lord. We just do lift them up to you. I pray for Brother Akeem's ministry, Lord. He is going about spreading the good news of your soon return to so many, Lord. Please watch over him, Lord. Give him a double portion of your spirit that he may let his light shine and that others would see that, Lord, and be drawn to you, Lord. And Father, I pray that for each one of us, that we would be just a reflection of you, and others would be drawn to you, not to us, but to you, Lord. Father, I pray for my daughter Ashley. You lift her up. Lord, please send your spirit to guide her, Lord, to touch her, to help her to realize that you are the answer, Lord, the only answer. You are the only one that can heal us, the only one that can keep us going in a positive direction, Lord, the only one that can keep us on the straight and narrow, Lord. And Lord, the only one that can forgive our sins, that can give us power over sin, Lord. We do ask this for each one of us and for Ashley, Lord, tonight. I think of Sister Layola's son, Jarvis, Lord. We just do lift him up. He is in the same situation as Ashley was for so many years, Lord. And we do pray for his spiritual health, his physical health and well-being also, Lord. Each one of our children, each one of our grandchildren, Lord, our parents, our aunts and uncles, our cousins, our nephews and nieces, Lord, we do lift up each one to you, Lord. Father, may this line continue to be strong, to be pointing others to you, Lord. It's been such an encouragement to so many of us, Lord. Without it, Lord, maybe we might have fallen away, as some have, Lord, that used to come on the line, who used to listen, Lord. I think of Brother Jen Sinney, Lord, Sister Naomi, Lord, so many down through the years, Lord, have come and gone, Lord, and we just lift them up to you, Lord, pray that your spirit will work upon their hearts, Lord, may they return, may they have a testimony of how you have guided them back, Lord, bless them and kept them, Lord, from the evil one. Father, be with us now, guide us and keep us, Lord. We praise you, we thank you, we love you, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Rick, for praying for each one of us, and Brother Eli. Brother Eli, be not discouraged, you know. God have given you a mission to do his work, and, you know, he will strengthen you. And as our dear elder, I pray for you. We have a few words of encouragement, Brother Eli, to hold upon Jesus. Jesus is there to comfort you. He said in Psalms 46:1-3, God is your refuge and he's in your strength. He is a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the middle of the sea, though the water therefore roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling. He said, though I walk in the midst of trouble, they will revive me and shall stretch forth mine hand against the wrath of my enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Psalms 138:7. God is with you, my dear brother. Be encouraged and just keep the faith. God love you as you have been doing the missionary work that God wants you to do, and he promised that he will comfort you, right? So we call Jovel, you know, God is going to bring him to you, because all these prayers that you offer up, and we have been praying for Jovel, that Jovel will be able to accept Christ as his personal Savior. We know that one day soon and very soon, Brother Jovel will join you, Brother Eli. So you be strong. God is able, and we are praying for Jovel. And brothers and sisters, this is the time that we are asking our brothers and sisters to get your Bible, your notepad, and your pen so that you can take note and, you know, be able to share what we have gained from this wonderful studying. And the next voice you will hear is our speaker, Brother Akeem James. So I will just offer a little word. And I just want to thank everyone who joined tonight, all those who share. You know, I just want to give God thanks. And you, those on the line, you know, our requests is unspoken requests, as our dear elder have prayed for each and every one of us. We just pray that God will pour out his blessings upon each one of us so that we can be blessed, refreshed, rejuvenate, and that we can share God's word to others. So we're going to pray. And the next voice you will hear is a Pastor Akeem James. Kind and loving, righteous Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We, your children, come to give you all the praise that due to you. Your precious jewels are here to learn new light, to get new light and fresh bread from heaven. And that's the reason why we are here today, tonight. We ask you, Lord, to refresh our mind. We ask you to allow us, dear Father, to look upon where you are now, and that we can have a near and draw closer and closer with a relationship with you, that you will able to cover us, Lord, with your righteousness, Lord. As we have been reading about your wedding garment, and we are asking you to allow each one of us who join here to listen to your word, that wedding garment of with the righteousness, Lord, of Christ will be placed upon us, dear Father, and we will be near to present your word to those who we come contact with, and also, dear Lord, to be with you when you come. Thank you, Father, for everything that you have done. Bless each heart and help us to be faithful. Also, we ask you to pour your blessings upon Brother Akeem, that the words that he brings to us, dear Father, fresh bread from heaven, and we will be refreshed, Lord. Thank you again, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, my dear brothers and sisters. And now I'm going to open Brother Akeem line. I did right? 347. No, sorry. Brother Akeem, can you press 1 if you are on the line? We are asking Brother Akeem, if you are on the line, can you press 1? I do a number and it wasn't yours. Okay. Yes, brothers and sister, if 3010, yes, he's there. Sorry, brother Akin. Yes, 301640. Your line is open.
No.
Yes.
Yes,
sorry,
no, that's
brother.
All right. No worries, no worries, no problem. Glad to be back on with you all this evening, and thanks for bringing me in, and blessings to each and every one of you. Hope the last week was good for you, and hope you enjoyed yesterday, the Sabbath. Hope it was a blessing to you as well. And so as we continue in our study this evening, we're going to continue. We covered Daniel chapter 11 and verse 38 last week, but in his estate, in other words, upon the foundation that the papal system sets up, shall he honor the God of forces. In other words, he will honor the God of forces, meaning the God of munitions, the God of arms. That is, the civil power will be elevated to the side of the papacy, so that as the papacy seeks to institute certain dogmas upon the people, they will be able to work through the state that it has elevated. And then as we continued reading, we saw that, a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold, silver, and precious stones. And we covered that, and we saw what that meant. As the papacy would grow and have power, the enemy of souls would cause this system, and we're going to continue reading it, not only to gain control over the economics of the then known world, but also to elevate other gods as well. Basically, what it did was absorbed and deified the pagan gods of the nations before them, and then they gave them apostolic names. We also read, Great Controversy mentions, as it concerns the last section concerning gold, silver, and precious stones and pleasant things, it says on page 566 and 567, while Romanism is based upon deception, it is not a coarse and clumsy imposture. The religious service of the Roman Church is a most impressive ceremonial. Its gorgeous display and solemn rites fascinate the senses of the people and silence the voice of reason and of conscience. The eye is charmed. Magnificent churches, imposing processions, golden altars, jeweled shrines, choice paintings, and exquisite sculpture appeal to the love of beauty. The air also is captivated. The music is unsurpassed. The rich notes of the deep-toned organ blending with the melody of many voices as it swells through the lofty domes and pillared aisles of her grand cathedrals cannot fail to impress the mind with awe and reverence. This outward splendor, pomp, and ceremony that only mocks the longings of the sin-sick soul because it doesn't really deliver is an evidence of inward corruption. The religion of Christ needs not such attractions to recommend it. In the light shining from the cross, true Christianity appears so pure and lovely that no external decorations can enhance its worth. It is the beauty of holiness, a meek and quiet spirit, which is of value with God. And so all of this pomp, all of these riches, it appeals to the hearts of men, but only as a trick. It's almost like when Christ gave the example of him coming up to the fig tree, expecting fruit and not seeing any. And that's the idea of the, just as it was for apostate Judaism, so is it for apostate Christianity. It presents the idea outwardly that it's amazing. But as the sin-sick soul approaches and gets closer, it realizes, whoa, it has nothing to offer me. Not so with true Christianity, however. True Christianity offers the experience that the sin-sick soul is longing and desperate for. And so as we continue, now we're going to go into verse 39. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, illuminate our minds by your Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, and guide us as we study your word. I pray and I ask in Jesus Christ's name. We pray. Amen. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 39 states, thus shall he, and the context is we're speaking still of the papal system, thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. And he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. So the most
strongholds. What is this pointing to? This expression is from the Hebrew ma'oz, and refers again to those powers or seats of government that would hold the Church of Rome in idolatrous regard. So in other words, the stronghold of Rome, the thing that kept it safe, was the civil power which it used to enforce its dogmas upon men. The Revised Standard Version gives a clear rendering to the first part of the text. He shall deal with the strongest fortresses, meaning nations, powers, cities, etc., by the help of a foreign god. In other words, a god whom his fathers did not know, according to the previous verse. It is interesting how the prophecy makes a distinction between the papacy and the church, just as it does in Revelation 17. The papacy is a civil power which maintains dominion by controlling the nations by its religion. It was an astonishing thing how imperial Rome held control of the nations through a small army of representatives that were scattered among the nations like international police. When this system broke up, Rome reasserted its power over the nations by sending among them an army of priests who taught all nations to worship the Church of Rome. The Vatican is a political institution which has gained power and control of the nations by masquerading under the cloak of Christianity. Into the hands of the Scarlet Woman, it places a golden cup full of intoxicating doctrines. The nations drink of the wine, become mad, then carry the woman about in idolatrous regard. Herein has Satan perfected his tactics in his great battle for the minds of kings, nations, governments, and peoples. This is the stronghold, friend. When it says, thus shall he, the papal system, do in the most strongholds with a strange god. What was those strongholds? The strongholds that protected the papal system as a fortress protects a man or woman or a people. The fortress was none other than the civil powers of the then known world that rendered their civil authority over to the papal system. In the book Daniel and the Revelation by Joseph Tanner, pages 521 to 523, it states, Sir Isaac Newton, Burks, Eliot, and other most able interpreters have shown that the allusion, as it concerns the most strongholds, is to saint worship as well. That the term mahuzim, or fortresses, strongholds, means guardian deities or tutelary saints who receive worship as protectors, as defenses and fortresses from their votaries. So notice, friends, as it concerns the word strongholds or the most strongholds, the word strongholds is giving the idea of protection. The protection, it was believed, of course, the protection cannot be given, but the protection, it was believed, came from the civil powers that protected the Roman Church, as well as those saints that had died, that had been venerated, or the deities of other nations that had now received apostolic names. These people were prayed to by the people of the people who were a part of the system, in order that the people might receive protection. So the fortresses was not only the civil power, but Sir Isaac Newton, Burks, Eliot, and many others taught that it was also, this word fortresses is in reference to the guardian deities or saints who received worship for the sake of protection, as a defense, as a fortress from any spiritual attack. Now it says here, continuing, it says, thus shall he do the papacy do in the most strongholds with a strange god, right? So we have the evidence here of another strange god being introduced. Taylor Bunch in the Book of Daniel, page 190, states, the elevation of the little wafer called the host, which is to be a manifestation of God, is indeed a strange god. It's also called or known as the Eucharist. The Eucharistic sacrifice, that is the Mass, is the principal act of Christian worship, according to Dr. John A. Ryan, professor of moral theology in the Catholic University of Washington, D.C. So who's saying this? None other than a professor of moral theology in the Catholic University of Washington, D.C. Catholics consider the unbloody sacrifice of the Mass as a continuation of Calvary, and in importance, it is just as great. Continuing, William Miller wrote this in his book Evidences, page 98. The God's Day, the Roman Catholics' worship, such as the images of Christ, apostles, and Virgin Mary, and canonized saints, were not known to pagan worshipers. Okay? These patron saints, which the Pope divided among the several nations of the earth, and in almost every family, each one having their patron saint to rule over them by the appointment of the Pope, were strange gods indeed. So this is William Miller saying this, and rational beings might truly wonder, when they behold the power of this last abomination over the minds and judgments of mankind. So do you see who the strange gods are? It actually says it here. It says, thus shall he do with the most strongholds, with a strange God. And friends, this includes the veneration of pagan gods by giving them apostolic names, along with the veneration of the Eucharist and also the saints, canonized saints, apostles, the Virgin Mary as well. William Miller, he even recognized it, and he says, these patron saints which the Pope divided among the several nations of the earth, and in almost every family, each one having their patron saint to rule over them by the appointment of the Pope, were strange gods indeed. Whom shall, and what shall you do with this strange God, with a strange God? Whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. Whom he shall increase with glory. This seems to be redundant and makes the following pronoun them. So whom he shall increase with glory, as it concerns the whom that he's doing this, is the God that he's elevating, the people he's elevating. But the God is plural. It's multiple people that he's doing this with. And hence the verse would read, it says, this seems to be redundant and makes the following pronoun them ambiguous, unless the rendering is actually accepted as those who acknowledge him shall magnify and honor. So this applies to the Roman clergy, whose life's work is to promote the worship of the Roman Church. They, in turn, are magnified and honored by the papacy. One only has to think of a well-known book called Dignity and Duties of the Priest, which states, the priest has the power of the keys, or the power of delivering sinners from hell, of making them worthy of paradise, and of changing them from the slaves of Satan into the children of God. And God himself is obliged to abide by the judgment of his priests. Friends, this is blasphemous. The sovereign master of the universe only follows the servant by confirming in heaven all that the latter, that's the servant, the priest, decides on earth. This was written by N.Y. Benzinger, Brothers, printers to the Holy Apostolic See. This was written in 1888, pages 27 and 28, and it was quoted by Hedekel on page 66. All right? Now, as it continues, it says, and he shall cause them to rule over many. His book, Taylor Bunch, mentions, in the book of Daniel, page 190, he mentions the Pope's claim to be the King of Kings with authority over earthly sovereigns. And this is what is stated by the historian Wiley in The History of the Papacy, page 102. He declares that history presents us with a list of not less than 64 emperors and kings deposed by popes. Surely the papacy alone fits the prophetic mold of fulfilling the specifications of the angel's interpretations. So when it says, and he shall cause them to rule over many, in other words, it is the those who the papacy allows to rule, they will rule. But those who he says cannot rule, he dispossesses. And so he was stronger than all of the civil rulers. The Pope himself was stronger than all of the civil rulers of the Dark Ages. They came to him for forgiveness. And so he had power over them. Hedicel, page 66, mentions, the city of Imperial Rome performed an amazing feat by ruling the world by an army of officers called magistrates, procurators, etc., who fanned out through the entire empire. When this system broke down, the new Rome emerged with a far more effective system, the priesthood. Armed with the mysteries of the Roman Church, holding the pretended keys to heaven and hell, and operating a fabulous international espionage system in its own Latin tongue, the clergy wielded a power over people never dreamed of by the officials of the Roman Empire. The officers of the Roman Church ruled over many. They ruled the souls of men as well as their bodies. The papal system had rose to such a degree during the Dark Ages that the priest who worked on behalf of the papal system were feared. They were feared by everyone. And so as a result, they were obeyed many times implicitly. Even if people had issues with the church at that time, they dared not voice it as the reformers did, lest they perish. And so this is why when the Reformation happened, it was such a stir, it caused such a stir, because now you had men who rose up against the system and actually said, no, this system is oppressing the people. And they protested against this system. This time is coming again, friends. For at the end, the papacy will be resurrected not only to domination over the entire then-known world of Europe, but over the entire planet. Men and women will have to arise all over the world where there is papal domination to speak against the system. It says, continuing, the verse states, so thus shall he do in the most stronghold with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. And he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. Pagan Rome divided the world into provinces which were given to favorite generals to rule and exploit for gain. And the papacy has followed the same policy. The whole world has been divided into dioceses, territories, or provinces under the jurisdiction of bishops who rule as princes. These districts are subdivided between the priests and monks. The combination of several diocese jurisdictions form the kingdom of the archbishop, and over several of them rules in glory and honor the cardinal, right? From each of these divisions, according to their size and wealth, flows a never-ceasing stream of riches into the coffers of the man ruling in splendor on the banks of the Tiber, the successor of the Caesars. Who is that? Himself. In Revelation 18, Babylon the Great is predicted as a great commercial system seeking gain, even from trafficking in the souls of men. So friends, this is something that has continued to this very day. William Miller actually states, and then again, to see the number of kingdoms, provinces, states and territories which the Pope has sold to enrich his coffers without any more right of title to them than we have to the land in the moon must convince everyone that the description given must apply to the Church of Rome or the Pope, who claims to exercise this great authority by his crazy title of Saint to Saint Peter's chair. And so friends, this is a serious thing that we're looking at. That was written on evidence. It was written in the evidences page 98 by William Miller himself. Okay, so this is a serious thing that we're looking at here as we now prepare to go into the last section of Daniel chapter 11, The papacy by this point has risen to world dominance. And as it has gained this dominance through the 1,260 years, with the last, as it started in 538, with the removal of the last Arian power that stood in its way, the Ostrogoths, it started receiving the power even beforehand, but the complete power and riches of the dead known world was rendered to the system, and the supremacy of the civil powers of the world were rendered to the system in 538, and it lasted for 1,260 years, and it was interrupted. But here's what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, Revelation 10, and I'm going to read in verse 3, speaking of this power, this is what it states. While the power was interrupted 1,260 years after 538 AD in 1798 as a result of France turning against Rome, papal Rome, this power will be regained again. And when it is regained, the scope of the papacy's authority will span now, not just Western Europe, but it will span the entire world. Because the influence of its worship and the influence of its traditions will begin to take hold in a deceptive manner upon the souls of men. Hence we read in verse 3 of Revelation chapter 13, and I saw one of his heads, speaking of the papal system, as it were wounded to death. This took place in 1798. But notice what it continues saying. And this deadly wound, which was the removal of the civil power from the papal system that it had for 1,260 years, the civil power was now removed, but this power will be regained. The wound that caused this division between the religious aspect and the civil, that separation will close. It says, and his deadly wound was healed. And notice the result. Once the church and the state, once the religious and the civil power are completely united as it was in the Dark Ages, it says, all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshiped the dragon, that Satan who gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast. That's the papacy saying, look at the words they ascribe to the papacy. Who is like unto the papacy? Now, those words are usually ascribed unto God. It's usually ascribed unto Jesus Christ. It says, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? In other words, there's no one that can fight against his power. In other words, they're attributing omnipotence to this power. And friends, indeed, this system will have control over the entire world, setting up, as we will see as we come closer and closer to the end of Daniel 11, setting up posts all over the planet. And as we know now, it has schools almost everywhere in the world. So its influence has spread more and more, but the completion of the complete union of the civil and the religious is coming. Moment by moment, the wound is being healed, but it is not completely there yet. But once it comes there, then we will see something happen. We will see the world turn to this system because of its financial influence, its moral influence, its political influence. All of these aspects the papacy will have the dominance in. And as a result, the world will look to the system to be guided by it. It is to the point that it actually says in verse 8 of Revelation chapter 13, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So in other words, apart from the saved, the whole world will turn. This is why we have to make sure our names are written in the book of life, so that we and that it remains there. For the saved will not worship the beast. And the reason is, the Bible tells us that deep calls unto deep. In other words, the heart calls unto the heart. The reason that men will follow this system at the end of time is because the principles of the beast were already in them. You know that self is also a beast. In other words, friends, it is because the heart is already corrupted that it comes into alignment at the end of time with a corrupted system. The reason that many will follow Rome at the end of time is because the same heart that Rome has is the same heart that men fail to overcome in their own lives. In other words, we are called, the only way that we will not follow the beast at the end of time is if we overcome the beast in us. Unless man becomes a new creation, he will surrender to the beast power when it is restored fully. This is why it's crucial for us to have the salvation experience, the transformation that comes with becoming a new creation. Because the power that will be taking place, and this is where I want to go to it, because we'll see the power that's happening that draws men. It's the pomp, the prestige of the system, the wealth of the system, but it's also the supernatural activity taking place within the system that will draw people. Both, and we're going to see this. So go with me in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 18. Notice what the fourth angel says after it reveals the glory of God. It says, Babylon the Great is fallen, right? Inspiration tells us in the Great Controversy that ever since the first proclamation that the churches were Babylon by Charles Fitch in the year 1844, just prior to the Great Disappointment, as he gave that message, Inspiration tells us in Great Controversy that the churches have been continuing to decline in their spirituality and in their morality since that first proclamation by Charles Fitch. But when Revelation 18, verse 2 and 3 is stated, the fall, we are told in Great Controversy, I believe it's chapter 38, the final warning, we're told that the fall that has been happening, going into deeper and deeper apostasy since 1844, will finally reach its completion. In other words, there's no deeper that they can go. The fall is totally complete. But what is it that they've fallen into? It's apostasy, but look at what it is also. It says, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation and the hold of every foul spirit. That's another way of saying devils, fallen angels, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. That's another way of saying devils, fallen angels. So in other words, what God is saying is he repeats it three times in different ways. You call this parallelism, saying the same thing in different ways. You remember Jesus, when talking about the parable of the sower, the places where he threw the seed, the first place was upon the byways, it was upon the roads. And as this happened, you remember what happened as it was thrown upon that first platform? What happened was the birds came and ate them up. Now, remember, when Jesus interprets the parable, you remember what he says the bird represented? He said it represented Satan, who comes to snatch away the word immediately. So we have Satan or fallen angels typified as birds. And when we look at one of the other things, I was talking to a friend yesterday, when we look at clean animals, let's say a clean bird like a dove, it is represented or it represents the Holy Spirit, right? When we look at Jesus' baptism and the Holy Spirit descended upon him, it came in the form of a dove. The idea was that this was a clean animal and its form represented the third person of the Godhead, right? So in the same way, just as a clean bird, such as the dove, represented the Holy Spirit, an unclean bird or birds represents evil spirits. It represents fallen angels, devils, as Revelation 18:2 calls them. So these are demonic forces. These are fallen angels. So Babylon, God mentions it in three different ways. Devils, every foul spirit, cage of every unclean and hateful bird, reiterating the fact that now Babylon, by the time of the proclamation of the fourth angel's message, is completely controlled by demonic forces. And demonic activity is all over the system. Now, friends, as this happens, you remember, what will these demonic forces do? I'm going to show you. We've covered it again. We've covered it many times, but we're going to see what the demonic activity is. What is the demonic activity that will take place in the last days? This is what it says here. And you can read this in Last Day Events, chapter 11. What is the deception? The saints must get a thorough understanding of present truth, which they will be obliged to maintain from the scriptures. They must understand the state of the dead, for the spirits of devils, that's what we're reading about right now, will yet appear to them professing to be beloved friends and relatives, who will declare to them that the Sabbath has been changed. Also other unscriptural doctrines. So do you see why now, according to Revelation chapter 18, notice what happens. You have the announcement of Babylon being completely controlled by demonic activity. And then we see in verse 3, for all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and that wine is none other than her false doctrines. But how will people receive these false doctrines so readily? We are told in verse 2, it's because of the demonic activity. Demons will appear as departed loved ones and give the wine of Babylon to men. And because men loved their departed loved ones so much, they would rather believe that this is their departed loved one, and they will receive their words with a kind of idolatry. And these are not my words. I'm going to continue reading to you. It says, and I'll read that over again, that last part. They must understand the state of the dead, for the spirits of devils will yet appear to them, professing to be beloved friends and relatives. And what will they do? What will these demons do? They'll give the wine of Babylon. For it says, who will declare to them that the Sabbath has changed? That's false doctrine. That's the wine. And also other unscriptural doctrines. That's the wine of Babylon. Continuing, and this the original place where that's found is Early Writings, page 87. Then the Great Controversy, page 557. It states the apostles, here it is, the apostles, not just departed loved ones, but the apostles, as personated by lying spirits, are made to contradict what they wrote at the dictation of the Holy Spirit. When on earth, they deny the divine origin of the Bible. It continues through the two great errors, the immortality of the soul and Sunday sacredness. Satan will bring the people under his deceptions. While the former lays the foundation of spiritualism, the latter creates a bond of sympathy with Rome. Great Controversy, page 588. There's one statement I want to read to you all as it concerns the aspect of receiving these words with a certain idolatry, as I mentioned to you. Give me one second here. Yes, here it is. So this is found in the Signs of the Times, August 26, 1889. It said it is Satan's most successful and fascinating delusion. What is that? One calculated to take hold of the sympathies of those who have laid their loved ones in the grave. Evil angels come in the form of those loved ones. This is his most fascinating delusion. And relate incidents connected with their lives and perform acts which they performed while living. In this way, they lead persons to believe that their dead friends are angels, hovering over them and communicating with them. These evil angels, who assume to be the deceased friends, are regarded with a certain idolatry. And with many, their words has greater weight than the word of God. And so friends, the way that the wine of Babylon will be received at the end of time, the false doctrines that the papal system has been pushing for centuries, over a millennia, is that at the end of time, the way that the whole world will follow and wander after the system, because at the end of time, angels, evil angels, will impersonate, not even personate, inspiration says personate the dead. And they will appear and give deception to the entire world. They will give the wine that was being taught by the papacy and the fallen churches. They will give that wine to the world, and the world will readily receive it. The world will readily receive it. Because if there's anything that men and women do not want to lose, it is a loved one. If there's anything mm-hmm. that they have the most and deepest sympathies with, it is a loved one.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so as the devil plays on that, friends, it will. This is why Seventh-day Adventists have to be grounded. And we have to be experiencing daily the present truth. So that if this ever happens to us, we will be ready to face the situation. May God be
mm-hmm.
with us. May God be with us, friends. And so this is Daniel chapter 11 and verse 39. We must know the truth, present truth, the person of present truth, that's Jesus Christ. And we must know the doctrine of present truth, which Christ reveals. That is the truths for this time, the state of the dead, the Sabbath, the second coming, the spirit of prophecy. All of these aspects we must understand and know, the sanctuary. And we must not only know them theoretically, but we must understand them experientially. It has to go deeper than an intellectual knowledge. The only way that that can happen is as we are teaching them, as we are finding new ways to communicate them to the people and make them as practical to our lives as possible, that we will be able to stand. And so with that, let us have a word of prayer. Father, I pray that this made sense to each and every one of us, Lord. Continue to guide us and draw us ever closer to you. Help us to stand in these last days, not only because we have known the truth intellectually, but also spiritually, practically, we have experienced it. Do this work in our lives, I pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Pastor Akin, for that presentation. And brothers and sisters, we just have to trust God so that we will be able to study these messages, because we do know, as we have listened to this study tonight, that Satan harlots the deception, and we know that he is coming. And, you know, because one good thing that I got, you know, actually point, the state of the dead. And when my dear brother said it, the state of the dead, that, you know, what Satan is going to do, raise our loved one. And we know we love our mother, maybe our father or brothers and our sister. And that same dead person that we love is going to come and say to us, you know what, the Sabbath of change. So we have to be careful, brothers and sisters, and we know that Satan's trick is out there. And also, you know, the Sabbath, as we know, the Sabbath is going to be a test, you know, and the changing of the Sabbath. And if we're dead person, come to us. But, you know, we know, and if we trust God and study his word, we know that the dead know nothing, and that is the trick of the devil. And also, we're thankful to know that, you know, these false doctrine that is out there, if we do not study for ourselves, you know, we won't be getting that knowledge that we will have, that we can present it to others. So I don't know if anyone here have a point to comment or something you want to ask Brother Akin, if you want to take off yourself off the line and press number one, that I can see that you want to talk to, you have something that you don't quite understand. Maybe the state of the dead, right? The spirit of the devil, maybe the Sabbath change, you know, maybe the sanctuary message. You may not understand. So any one of that, if you don't, you can press number one and you can present your question to Brother Akin, and he will answer you your question. And I just want to thank everyone for joining and participating tonight, and thank Brother Akin for presenting this timely message to us. This is a learning stage we are in, brothers and sisters, and we are so thankful and so grateful that we are able to, you know, listen to the truth, that we can know what is truth from what is false. But the only way we can digest the truth is when we study his word. And we want to thank God for these wonderful true lights that we have been getting and this word that we are getting, and that you could help us, that we are will create a better understanding of what is coming up on the world. So I just want to thank everyone for joining. I have not seen any one person, number one, that they can ask this question, and I'm going to open this line and ask this person if they could offer a word of prayer for me to close up. Wow. Oh. All right, I'm going to open this line, 240. Yes, brothers and sisters, I just want to thank you again for joining, and I'm asking this person, 240, if you could lead us in a prayer, closing prayer.
Certainly, let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this opportunity to come and to study and to learn more about you, Lord. And we thank you for the presenter, for allowing him to be with us today. And I ask you, Lord, as the words were given, we ask you, Lord, that it will stir our hearts and we will not be hearer of the word, but doer as well. As we move into this new week, we ask you, Lord, to put an edge of protection around us. Go before us, Lord, and clear the path. And we ask, Lord, that you will continue to pour your mercies and your grace down upon us, Lord, and allow our character to be more like you, God. Thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Thank you for praying for us, and thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us, and to... I let you know that God is good and he's coming back soon. Let us continue to study his word. Let us continue to be faithful to God, that we can share his word. In spite of what is going on, if we trust God, God is able to bring, that present the truth and nothing but the truth, that we can share the truth to our brothers and sisters. So I just want to thank you. And tomorrow night, we will be having the Great Controversy study on the Tennessee land. So we're asking you all if you could join us. So good night. I'm going to close. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Have a good night, brothers and sisters. We will just close with a song. Oh, Lord, why did this happen? Okay, we just going to close with this song.
Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, from our eyes. Most perfect, most glorious, in ancient of days, almighty victorious, thy praise we pray. Unresting, unhasting, and silent as light, nor wanting, nor wasting, thou rulest in might. Thy justice like mountains, high soaring above, thy pathways are fountains of goodness and love. Thank you. they don't need us, then.